#1 fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
You know it! You know it indeed! October 18th, welcome to another sweet addition to the Wagner Wire on a soothing Sunday. It's an NFL kickoff Sunday, that's right. We got a fantasy football contest that we are displaying. Go to the Horn Twitter right now, it's the Horn ATX, and you can see the link that you can download, or it's, you don't really have to download, but you do have to start your own DraftKings account. So make sure you do that. We have more on that in a couple of minutes, but myself, Isaiah Collier, Sam Pikachu brings you in and off these radio airwaves of Austin, Texas. It's the Wagner Wire. For three solid hours, we will be anchoring sports. We're going to kick up. We're going to recap a little bit of the NBA. Do a little, I guess, bittersweet. It's an exodus thing. We got to say, you know, bye-bye to the NBA for, what, maybe a month or so? No, they're going to get Christmas off, I think. They're going to get Christmas off, and then we're going to come back strong. We're going to be happy. We don't know where we're going to see. We might see CP3. We might see LeBron James and Anthony Davis all on the same team. We're already talking about it, man. The rumors are flying.
Come on, man.
Woo! We got a lot to break down for NBA. Well, not just, we just got to say goodbye to the NBA. Because, I mean, I got to be completely honest with you. It was really the only thing that was holding me and my family together for a while.
Wow, that's dark.
It's not dark, man. I mean, it's like in this time of a pandemic, like look at what the NBA actually provided for a lot of people. Hope. And that's what I want to say.
All right, I feel
so
that.
That's my message of the day for the NBA. So thank you. My hat's off to the NBA. We're going to bring Vic James on. Again, remember how we had Vic James who just blasted us with a whole bunch of L.A. Late Show content.
Hot.
He was ready to roll, right? He thought it was going to be a celebratory show.
Is he cool? Is he good? He probably partied pretty hard.
Yeah,
he seems like a diehard L.A. fan. Think, like, did he go to Los Angeles?
I don't know. I don't know if he went back out west, but I know he wants to come and, you know, give his little 2 cents or his 10 cents on, you know, the NBA and what the Lake Show did. So it means a lot to the people out west. You know what I'm saying? Especially when we have a lot of people that are from out west that are now here residing in Texas. So
yeah, especially with the loss of Kobe Bryant. I saw a lot of LA fans in tears after they won that 17th ring. So
it was pretty emotional, dude.
It's pretty deep.
It was pretty emotional. And of course, you know, it affects people differently. Everybody's subject, you know, all feelings are subjective. That's for sure. But hey, we'll break down more. We'll celebrate that at 9:30. We'll break down more NBA. We got a lot going on. Hey, dude, I got to come clean. All right, so it's me, Sam, and Zay right now. And you can go to my Twitter handle at NotTheFakeWags. You can go to Zay's at AintThat_Zay. Sam refuses to play the game. But hit us up on the Specs text line, too, because I really need your all's opinion on this. Specs text line, 512-337-3776, or the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. So we're going to get into sports, but I was watching a little bit of the game last night, and then, you know, I just felt a little
bit. Which one?
I can't even remember the damn
Bama.
No. I was watching Bama, Georgia, but I was watching
Rays.
It wasn't Rays Astros. It was Dodgers.
Dodgers Braves.
Dodgers Braves. Sorry. Yeah, but I got in. I was feeling a little bit odd. My head started hurting a little bit, so I wanted to go lay down, right? I laid down in bed, and I started feeling a little bit on the sci-fi side. So I was just turning a movie on, turned Blade Runner on, and my wife's just like, all right, I'm getting up out of bed. I'm going to go downstairs. She completely lost interest, right? And I heard her ruffling some chips, and she was making, like, a sandwich and everything. And I didn't see her making a sandwich. But I saw, like, I could hear it. I heard, once the dead giveaway is the dog leaving me and going downstairs and, you know, you hear the tail pop, 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 pop. You know, she's prancing and everything because she wants some meat. She wants some of that turkey that my wife is pulling out. So I did something very, 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 very lazy. And for the first time in 14 years, I called out, "Hey, Katie, hey, can you make me a sandwich?"
Oh, man.
"Honey, if you're not doing something, since you got it all out, can you make me a sandwich?" And I felt, as soon as I said it.
Yeah, did you feel your stomach drop like when you go down on the roller coaster?
I felt like my father. I felt not that my dad's a bad dude, but that is something completely out of my dad's playbook.
Who's your father, Al Bundy?
No, he lives in Polk High. He lives in that Polk High I had four touchdowns.
Polk High?
You should have seen me go over the top back in the day, boy. I jumped right over Tom Forster's back and I leaped over that pile and I scored my fourth touchdown. Yeah, for Baltimore Polytech, shout out.
Shout out, man.
BPI, man. BPI.
Shout out to Christina Applegate too. Whoa.
Oh, did I do that? Oh, that was Genie in a Bottle back in the day.
I'm just saying. That
was
circa
99. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I confused her with Christina Applegate. That's what I just did right there. Christina Aguilera and Christina Applegate.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Come on, Wag. That's a slip.
That's a slip. I slip on everybody, man.
That's
okay. I slip on everybody,
dude.
That's
your era, too.
It is my era. I mean, I was like second grade when that started, like, Al Bundy. Ted Bundy's a serial killer.
Yes,
wow,
he is.
We're slipping on everything. It's 9 a.m.
No. You're slipping,
I'm slipping on
everything,
my friend. Hey, we go down together. No, it's not. But anyways, call us up. So look, okay, did I mess up there? Was it too chauvinistic to say, "Hey, could you do me a favor?" It was the first time in 14 years, and I apologized immediately this morning when I woke up, and she goes, what are you talking about? That was completely, she completely omitted anything.
See, you are in a good place.
Right, but I mean, I still felt so, so
and see, it's all dear. About the situation. It's all about the situation, Wags. Like, if UT was winning, would this Eyes of Texas stuff be a big deal? Probably not. Y'all are in a good place right now. It's not a big deal. If y'all were in a bad place, then she might have snapped on you, dog.
Hey, wait. What'd you ask me to do? That's what I would have gotten in response.
Exactly. It depends on the situation. Y'all are in a good place. She didn't even see that.
Nah, she came up with her own ham sandwich or turkey sandwich. But no, we had turkey. It was turkey.
Ended up getting the sandwich.
She right alongside of her.
Yeah, see.
And the only thing I was starting to feel guilty about there is that we were eating it in bed.
Yeah,
I don't like to eat. I don't like to have crumbs and stuff where I eat, and it brings
like
the bugs
either.
And stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't like that either. But yeah, y'all are in a good place. You give me hope as a man that's about to get married. You give me hope, dog.
Just
I appreciate that. Just
try not to do what I did. Like, I really.
I'm trying it today.
I really.
I'm trying it today, dog.
I'm really
going after it.
Okay, but you got to make only if she's on it.
In a good place.
Okay. I haven't met Jesse, you know, but I mean, I from the stories that you share, you guys are in a good place.
See? That's what I'm saying.
I have faith.
That's what I'm saying.
What the hell y'all been doing all week, man? I miss you guys. I don't get to see y'all one-on-one anymore every day. Like, what have y'all been up to? Let's catch up real quick.
Getting up bright and early.
Bright and early. Absolutely.
You know the
I still
grind.
Get those the shared messages on Twitter. Hey, I need you. Sometimes E shares it with me by accident, I think. He tags me by accident.
Yeah. He'll be in the zone. He'll be in the zone.
Jamming out 5 a.m. Loading stories going.
Shout out to Chad and Chip.
It's funny because I work the opposite of Zay. So I work the late nights.
Yeah.
And so I pretty much, bro, this Monday, I'm going to basically be here till Zay gets here.
Oh, that's a good one.
That Cowboys game, that Monday Cowboys
y'all
game.
Y'all can't be having that.
I'm going to see Zay in passing. I'm going to get to wave to him in the morning.
Oh, yeah. That Cowboys game, that's the grind.
I started Dragon Ball Super. That's pretty big in my life right now, bro.
It's the
Dragon
intense
Ball.
Anime.
I'm
kind of into it. I'm not bashing it.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
I'm definitely praising it because, you know, if I'm kind of into it, it has to be fire. Because you know me, I am very, I'm not.
Yeah, you get down with it, but not, you're straddling the nerdy. So you're feeling, you're touching a toe. You're being like, man, is it cool enough?
Exactly. I dabble with a little bit of everything. I'm versatile. You know?
Very much. Put that on that resume, too. Yeah, bold, versatile.
Versatile. You know, Isaiah Carter could be in different parts of the world.
It's like water.
Times.
He just
it
flows,
matter.
Baby.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
I was going to say, bro, I thought you were about to start dogging me. I was
I know
Zay watches. This is who got me into it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, for sure. That's it, though.
But
any video games popping off? I bought a couple of video games. Like, I bought Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I bought.
You're still buying games?
No. This was like a couple of weeks ago. Like, okay. I bought Avengers when it came out, when it dropped, and I placed the pre-order on Assassin's Creed Valhalla. But I don't even know if I'm gonna get to that. I still got to beat Red Dead Redemption 2. I still got so many games that I need to beat.
Well, like, the only game I'm playing right now is that PGA Tour. Shout out to that giveaway.
We get that absolutely. But that's another thing, too. That takes up so much of my time because I get so bored. Like, not bored, but I mean, like, I'm not done with those games, but they're adventure games and campaign games, and I don't want to get into it because I want to sit down and relax, and that game's relaxing.
Very relaxing, and I'm kind of like in chill mode right now because of the new Xbox and PS5 coming out, which I'm kind of torn. I don't know which one to get. I want to like go Xbox because of that 2K deal where you get it for free if you buy that ridiculous deal with 2K that I bought.
But I think you get it for PlayStation as well if you do it with the PlayStation 4, if you buy the bundle package, you got to spend like $99.
See, that's what I'm saying. PlayStation 4 no more, and I'm not trying to do it for both. So while I have the Xbox right now, I might as well just stay with Xbox. But I hear the Xbox is like blowing up and catching on fire and overheating and stuff. Look it up. Look it up.
Bro, you should just wait
and
see.
Push that launch back.
You should just see if you can get like a wedding band deal like you did the first time, bro. You gotta buy one anyways.
Sam's doing me wrong right
what
now.
What happened?
He's giving up my secrets.
What happened?
Now I gotta talk about it on air.
That is an awesome idea. What did you do? You're a genius.
Yo, okay, I am a genius, yes, but I didn't want to give this up. Thanks, Sam. Now I gotta break it down for everybody out there.
Man, you just put him on blast.
I thought it was public knowledge.
They call that Blue Falcon in the military. Blue Falcon strikes again, and the BF stands for something else. Buddy.
Bleep.
Yeah, so my woman, she always calls it, you bought thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Xbox. That's what she says in the free ring. So the place I got the ring from, they must have been doing a deal.
Was it Diamonds Direct?
I'm not going to get... Okay. That wasn't Diamonds Direct. But I went to Diamonds Direct. It wasn't Diamonds Direct. But they were nice to me. Let's just say that. Anyways, the place that I did go to, they were doing a deal. And they were like, yo, man, you look like a guy that is versatile.
You're smooth and versatile.
Yeah, you're a versatile guy. We got this deal for you. This definitely made my ears perk up a little bit. Like, okay. At this point, I was like, you know what? Even if she likes the ring, she can take it back, you know, by this point. So the deal was, if I spent a certain amount of money for the ring that I was looking for, then I got a free Xbox with it.
The new Xbox?
The X1. The one that's currently out. I don't know them by titles. You know that more than I
do. For sure.
But, yeah. So, again, your boy's ears perked up. At this point, I'm like, yo, I don't care how this ring looks. This is too good of a deal. Your boy gets something out of this. I'm out here spinning the grip for this engagement ring.
You don't get the cut or nothing.
I was like, she's going to say yes. I know I'm going to marry this woman. It's all right. I know I'm going to marry this woman. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. I love her. Cool. This Xbox, though? This Xbox on this 60-inch TV we got?
Jesus, they.
So, yeah, man. The dude knew. Like, what a salesman. What a salesman.
I got this dude right. So, as soon as he walked in the door, I know exactly his hook right
now. Yeah, so, like, right when. Like, so, Sam, he knows this whole process. Like, this is just producer code. Me and Sam are always up here
by
ourselves.
That's just good producing right
there. Yeah, just great producing. So, me and Sam, we're always just kicking it. And, you know, I'm telling him this deal. And Sam's like, you're the man, dog. Like, Zay, you know what you just did? And Sam's like, pumping me up. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am the man, dog. Like, this is men around the world dream about deals.
That is one hell. And
he really got me. He was like, yo, you better do this deal because I only got about 3 Xboxes left. So I was like,
dude, that whole back storeroom was full of Xboxes, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Inventory was stocked. He just got a new shipment in, but he was like, yeah, I got the hook right here.
I called my pops. And I was like, yeah, dad. It's on. I'm about to propose. He was like, oh, yeah, it's time, huh? He was like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, it all worked out. So now Yeah, my fiance holds it over my head and says, like, you really just bought an expensive ass Xbox and the ring came along free. So I have to hear that for the rest of my life. What's crazy is your boy came in with the Xbox, and I obviously the proposal was going to be a little bit after. But the Xbox, she was like, what are you doing with this? She was like, what are you doing with this? I was like, oh, yeah.
Did
I was like, I had to lie. No, not at all. I had to lie. I was like, oh, yeah, this homie I know at the station, you know, I won this bet and stuff.
Brand new,
clean white, clean white. She was like, what is this? Like, what are you doing with this thing? And yeah, so I don't know. It all worked out. It worked out for everyone.
I hear you. All right, so Boo-hee-ka, okay? He types in, it's called give and take, Wags. A good man will remember and return the request when she asks one day. I get that, but I mean, and you know what? To that point, like, everything that she does, everything that she asks me to do, I do. You know what I mean? And I don't expect anything in return back, but still, I don't know if it's me cringing every time that I heard my father ask that at times. You know what I mean? Like, ask my mom or my stepmom to get something for him. I didn't like that. I never liked that. I always felt like, hey man, you know, get up off your ass and go get it yourself.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Al Bundy in his underwear and a wife beater like, with crumbs on his chest yelling, hey Lucy, give me a sandwich.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what the lady's name
like,
was.
It's not that it's chauvinistic. Lucy. It's not that I'm feeling like it's chauvinistic. I just feel like I should be the provider, maybe. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what it's coming down to. Maybe that's in my subconscious. Like, you know, I'm not gonna ask my wife who's got rheumatoid arthritis to go and get me stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not cool. And yeah, I feel
when you throw the arthritis in there,
so
it sounds a lot worse.
It changes things.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it changes a little bit.
100%. You know, 100%. But I mean, everybody that's seen my wife knows that she's 100% in shape, fit, and could run like a marathon backwards. You know, she's impressive.
I think most of the times I've met her, she's come fresh off a workout.
Like, usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. You know, listening to some J. Cole workout with maybe that song. Because we got a good thing.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go.
Because we do. We got
sports.
A good thing.
So what about sports?
Sports. All right. Sports. How about Clemson 73-7 yesterday?
That's fun.
Over Georgia Tech.
When you're putting in the punter to get in reps at the QB spot, like, come on. I feel like I was one Dabo. That was so disrespectful.
What? I mean, I guess you have to. 100%. That was a slap in the face.
Punter.
That was a backhand slap in the face. That was, we own this league. No, we own we pretty much own, you know, college football at this point. What can you say? I mean, this is what Texas is supposed to be doing to teams, wouldn't you think? Right? In year four, this is supposed to be the culminating year of when it all comes together. You know what I mean? Hook 'em horns, mm-hmm. Let's get them. And we can't, man, we can't even get out of the Big 12, it seems. Come on, man. We got to talk about it a little bit.
You going to throw me in there?
I'm going to ask you guys.
Hey, I mean, you know, there's problems going on. That's just
problem,
all the
problems
bashing.
On campus? You think it's all you know, surfacing
everywhere.
At this point? For sure, but you think
on
it's really
field,
surfacing?
Off the field, there are problems going on at the 40 Acres. We all know that. This whole state, this station, everybody listening to the station, we all know that. We see what's going on TV. It does suck seeing the Blue Bloods and the powerhouses dominate, but yeah, we know the problems.
Right. How about some surprising scores around college football yesterday before we go to break? How about Notre Dame yesterday struggling with Louisville? What do you think about that?
I mean, they got the dub, but
felt like a baseball game, 12-7.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Speaking of baseball, Houston, see ya. Tampa Bay eliminates you guys 4-2, and then the L.A. Dodgers come back and tie the Braves there. The Bravos 3-1, and it's going to be 3-3 going into Game 7 here. Who do you rock out there?
Man, that Dodgers really better win it. All that talent. You kidding
Kershaw
me?
Kershaw was looking fantastic coming up into the postseason. He was having
finally?
One hell of a postseason, and then that 12-6 can only fall out so many times before the ass drops completely.
I don't get it. I don't know why. Because it's weird. It's like when you get in the postseason, the pitchers who are dominant, they're supposed to excel. Like, this is when they're supposed to show, you know, that they are really right. they're juggernauts. Like the pitchers,
that's when they're supposed to dominate. Well, usually the pitchers will. Usually the pitchers dominate most of the time out, anyways. But it's just like when you go into.
But the pitchers have the advantage.
100%. But until you get into an at bat, when you get more eyes on the pitcher's, you know, arsenal. You know what I mean? If an at bat goes to 17 pitches, you know, now the advantage is clearly with the batter because he's seen pretty much everything that's in your repertoire.
So is that it? People just seen Kershaw too much over the years?
I think they're starting to. I mean, because he's usually precision and pitch to contact. He's not going to blow anybody away. He's not a power pitcher. So I think if he can't hit his spots, he's going to get touched up, and I think that's what you're seeing now. But we'll break that down on the other side. We got Vic James coming on. He's going to break down a little bit more celebratory talk. We were supposed to have the celebratory action last week, but the Heat and Jimmy Butler, they kind of...
Lakers wanted to make it dramatic.
Let's just keep it real.
Lakers wanted to make it dramatic, and Anthony Davis wanted to pretend he was hurt, and he came out, gave six, didn't even look like he was affected. They were so focused, man. I'm going to ask Vic, too, because that's why they're talking trade talks now. That Lakers team was not that good. Anthony Davis was great. LeBron James was absolutely phenomenal.
But outside of that?
Outside of that, they have so many flaws, Wags. Like, everybody was so inconsistent. Like,
no, I'm with you. 100. But if Avery Bradley would have stayed healthy and would have elected to play.
Yeah, that would have been a different story. It probably would have been a different story. It would have made things a lot easier.
I think it would have
been
domination, yeah.
Yeah, but again, there's a lot of questions that they need to answer because a lot of people are free agents like Dwight and Morris and a lot of people that I would consider re-signing while people that they have that are coming back.
CP3! CP3!
Yeah, that's a little... you're going to have to give up a lot for that, I'm telling you.
In his 18th year, he goes on tour and takes CP3 with him and they get the ring. It's happening. And bring in Melo.
That's too much. That's too much. That's too much. Once you say Melo, the CP3, that sounds spicy. Like that could actually happen,
but I don't.
Melo sounds like some flaming hot Cheetos type stuff. But when you're talking about
just a cheetah,
yeah, when you bring in Melo and it goes back to that plain cheese, just like with
white
crunchy,
cheddar.
Yeah, it's not as appetizing.
Too much going on,
yeah,
man.
It's not as appetizing, you know.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream to suck alive at hornfm.com. We invite you to be a part of the conversation conventionally. You can hit us up at 512-337-3776. That's the Specs text line. Hit me up on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. You can hit Zay up at @that_Zay. Sam refuses to play the game, but he's on the gram. Pika.chu, right? I got that right. Yeah, I always ask the question. But you also, you can't occupy the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline because we got my man Vic James back on the line. He's on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline right now. And he's here to talk a little bit of celebratory talk. We were supposed to do it last week, but, Jimmy Butler and company kind of put a damper on the parade there. But without further ado, Vic, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
He is back.
No damper
on the celebration. Just a slight postponement, if you will.
But, absolutely. All right.
Glad it took care of business.
So we have so many questions for you. Zay wants to start off so far. I mean, I'm going to ask right now, did you see this coming? I mean, did you actually see so much difficulty or adversity going through the bubble, or did it seem dramatic adversity going through the bubble for this win going over the Miami Heat?
I think anytime you're on a championship title run, there's a sense of adversity, but then, like I told you guys last week, the Heat are a really good basketball team. They're really good. They're really well-ran organization. And, I wasn't surprised that it went six games. I would have liked it to have been shorter just for my stress. But no, they're a really good club, and I think they have a young team. Pretty much everybody they have is coming back, aside from maybe Goran Dragic. So they're gonna be back, and I don't necessarily assume they'll go straight to the finals, you know, next year or whatever, but they're going to be a tough out for anybody next season for sure.
Now, Zay has some questions about free agency and trade rumors, but before I even get started, I wanted to address the personnel situation, and just maybe it would have been a lot easier. Of course, it would have been a lot easier if Avery Bradley would have maintained his health and elected to stay in the bubble and play, correct? But without Avery Bradley, you know, just locking down the perimeter there, do you think that's what really caused the bind and really just made it all about LeBron James and Anthony Davis and maybe a trickle of the COG players?
No, I mean, I think that was kind of, I mean, our team was built off of the duo and how they work so well together. But I think that instead of thinking about it that way, I look at it as with Avery Bradley not showing up, you had a lot of guys that were able to step up in their own little ways. Like, you know, guys like Rajon Rondo, who coming into the playoffs, probably people didn't think that was going to give us, you know, 13, 14 points a game at any given in the last two series when he was able to perform at the level that he was able to perform at in the last game when we played. In game six, I mean, I think he ended up with 15 or something like that. So I think that it gave the opportunity for guys like Alex Caruso, who had already been a stable force for us, the ability to step up instead of it being, and I think if you look at the usage, it's probably LeBron probably went up higher in the finals and things like that, but the run was a complete team effort. And I think the thing that gets overlooked with the Lakers is our versatility and the depth of our lineup. It was always that it was a LeBron and AD kind of thing, and what are the bench players going to do when they get their number called? Well, we saw what KCP did, you know, during his stretch run. We saw at moments what, like I said, what Rondo was able to do, Alex Caruso, his ability to start in the biggest game of his life in game six and prove why he belonged on the floor with all those guys. So I think instead of looking at it, it gave people the opportunity to see how deep the Lakers actually were in hindsight. And I think with Avery still around, so I mean, it's not like, you know, he's off the team. He's gonna get a ring and he'll be back next year, hopefully, if you know, we can have people in stands and arenas again next season.
Good point.
Vic, what's happening, man? It's Zay. You know, it's crazy because once LeBron wins, it seems like the whole league scrambles. And then it's like, okay, now we have to add superstar depth to the team. You hear it with the Heat. Now they're going to go all in on Giannis next season. Brooklyn's looking in to add Drew Holiday along with KD and Kyrie. And now you're seeing the Lakers, you know, they're trying to find a third guy because they know how that's probably going to happen. And you hear, you know, the rumors with Chris Paul and Bradley Beal or Donovan Mitchell. What do you think the Lakers are going to do? What's their next step, even though they just won a title?
Yeah, I'm not a GM, but I guess if I got to put my GM hat on.
Do it.
I really – I'm not a – you know what? The CP3 stuff, I've never been a Lakers fan. I think the one thing about Lakers fans, sometimes we get these high expectations for who we want to get in free agency or through trade and whatever. And I've personally seen a lot of those things go against us as far as us giving up, you know, giving up assets for Dwight Howard. And then he left the next offseason and, you know, different free agency acquisitions that we were all clamoring for, like LaMarcus Aldridge that we didn't get, Carmelo Anthony, et cetera. So, like, I actually am not a fan of trading for Chris Paul right now. I love Chris Paul. He's one of my favorite point guards of all time. But at the same time, the last two deep runs he's had in the playoffs, he's been hurt. He hasn't been able to stay healthy and be on the floor and be available. So trading a young Kyle Kuzma and whatever other assets you have to give up to pick him up, to me, doesn't seem necessarily worth it. I think he has a dynamic that is good, but I think you get that from somebody, you know, on the minimum as it is. You know, we're paying – Rondo's going to opt out. You know, he's probably going to want us to pay him more money if we can, you know, meet him halfway on something. I'd rather keep him if we're going to have that type of stable leadership, point guard type of player, which is what you're asking Chris Paul to come in. Because you're not going to ask Chris Paul to come in and be, you know, the number one or two option. You're going to ask him to come in and be, you know, a stabilizer of sorts, you know, maybe start, but also be a person that stays the second unit and things like that. And that's basically what we asked Rondo to do as it is anyway. So why not pay him less money and do that regarding that? If they were going to go get somebody, I'd rather them go get another knockdown shooter, like a Danilo Gallinari or somebody like that. Maybe a low maintenance. We won this championship doing low maintenance things, and I think it would be making low maintenance moves. Obviously, we wanted to get Kawhi, and once he went to the Clippers, we had to make do with what we had the opportunity to deal with, as far as like getting Danny Green and Quinn Cook and guys to fill out the roster, Avery Bradley, and et cetera. But I don't think that necessarily we need another superstar. We have two of the top five best players in basketball. Like, I don't think that you need necessarily another name. Just if they were to trade for somebody, I would trade for Bradley Beal because he's younger. He hasn't been hurt as often, and he's a shooter. He's a guy that can knock down, open jump shots.
He's everything LeBron wants.
Exactly. And he can go get his own basket when you need him to. He can go off for 30, 40 a night. And I still worry about the dynamic as far as the fit to me is better than the Donovan Mitchell or a CP3 in that regard, just because, if we can even get him, like, who knows why. Like, Brett Beal came out the other day and said he wants to stay, in Washington and try to build something there.
Yeah, let's see how long that lasts.
Yeah, that's because I'm a Wizards.
Let's see how long that lasts.
Vic, I'm a Wizards fan, man. It's going to be tough. I don't even see Beal lasting the season, dude. I think he's gone midway.
I get that, but I also worry about when it comes to trading for a player, because he's signed until, I think, 20. I think it's
22,
like, 2022, I think, or something like that. Yeah, so when you're talking about trading for people, and the thing is, the Lakers have always had, and we saw it with the Anthony Davis situation before their former GM got let go. People don't like to deal with the Lakers. Like, it's definitely a thing. That's definitely, I'm putting my fan hat back on, but people don't really want to give LeBron James. Like, if you give LeBron James and Anthony Davis Bradley Beal,
it's over.
That's just not even fair.
They're going to break the game. They'll break NBA 2K21, man.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that if it does happen, depending on who they would fill out the roster with, would kind of be like a no-brainer. They're already a favorite to win this year anyway. And if they were able to get a trade in the next 2 years when Anthony opts back in, I mean, I wouldn't see it being anything different than that anyway. So, but yeah, that would be probably the person I would think that they should trade for if they were going to give up assets to get somebody. It would be Bradley Beal for sure.
Yeah, Vic, that's a great point. The NBA, they're a little sketchy with the Lakers. You saw it with David Stern and how he vetoed the Chris Paul trade when he was trying to go over there with Kobe. Like, that was absolutely bogus. But yeah,
thank you for bringing up my traumas, eh?
My bad, Vic.
Speaking with Vic James, Spectrum News One Texas sports producer, just giving his synopsis on some LA hoops right now, and pretty much a celebration conversation right now. Continue, Vic.
No, yeah. If we're gonna celebrate, I'm just really I'm really happy they were able to get it done with the pieces that we had. I think Rob Pelinka is, he should have been front office executive of the year with the way he was able to put this team together. When we traded for Anthony Davis, people said we gave up too much for him. When we didn't get Kawhi Leonard, it was, the Lakers are still the same old, Lakers of the last 6 years. And
speaking of that, Vic, I don't mean to cut you off, dog. I don't mean to cut you off. You brought up Kawhi. Man, I got to ask you something because you're a Lakers fan. And with what came out this week about the Clippers and that turmoil they got going on.
I don't even like doing that.
Oh, my. I was shocked when I heard about the Kawhi special treatment that he was getting.
I don't know if I was that shocked.
I was. The fact that he was living in San Diego and commuting.
Getting bust, yeah, that's kind of a hefty price right there.
That's a little, like, because I was about Kawhi being his own man when everybody was dogging him in San Antonio. Like, I'm all about my mental health. Like, if Kawhi felt like he wasn't comfortable coming back due to his injury and the Spurs were pushing him, then I'm with Kawhi on that. But now, if all this diva stuff's coming out and whatnot, it makes me think, man, maybe Kawhi's the problem.
You know what? They're all divas. I think anytime you're that great, I'm not surprised at all from the simple fact that was the contingency when he signed. It was, he was going to be able to manage his, it was when he came to Toronto, it was when he got traded there, it was with the idea that he was going to play when he felt he was comfortable to preserve his body, and that's what it was. And when he came to L.A., I'm sure it was a ante up because he had just won a championship. So he had proved in some regards that his version of load management was working. And the Clippers, who haven't won anything, are, of course, going to give, you know, a guy, a talent like Kawhi Leonard, you know, the benefit of the doubt and try to see if this was going to work. You know, now, do they pull back on some of those things this season? Maybe. But then they run the risk of losing him in the offseason. So I think anytime my issue is not with Kawhi Leonard, because you have to be strong enough as an organization to not allow things like that to go down, you know, because then you're really, I mean, what that showed me was that I blame Doc Rivers less for what happened than I originally did when they lost, because I've been a person who, I love Doc Rivers, but I've always said that he's a little bit overrated in the way that he's only won one championship, and then he was brought to L.A. to kind of get them over the hump. Not kind of. He was brought to L.A. to get them over the hump in the playoffs, and he never did, you know? So I always kind of held it against him. I do hold that against him in some regards, but after that came out, that was probably the one thing that I was settled with, because you pretty much knew to your coach when you do stuff like that. Like, there's no – you know, like Bruce Arians, you know, how he was, you know, getting on Tom Brady to kind of like make a point. There's no coaching in that at that point. Like, you can't really wade the tide when there's an issue with things, you know, that, like Golden State, obviously they won a championship, but they didn't do that for Kawhi Leonard. I mean, for KD, you know, when LeBron went to Miami, you know, Pat Riley was like, look, like, you're coming here to be a part of this organization. We're not in the LeBron James business, you know, and I think that when you are an organization like the Clippers, sometimes you may bend your whims to get a guy like Kawhi Leonard because you understand what that means for your franchise. But I don't blame Kawhi Leonard, man, because he's never made no stones about how he is. You know, people know who he is, and if you want to take a chance on that in hopes of getting yourself a championship, I can't get mad at an organization for doing that. But it has to be contingencies, or it's like we saw, like, apparently there's reportedly people in the locker room that were having issues with him flying back from San Diego and being late to team flights and all that stuff, which we don't even know if all of that is accurate.
Right.
But it's one of those things, like, if these things are true, I can understand how they melt down the way they did, like how there is no, you know, because things off the court do subside. You know, the Lakers, that one thing that was underrated all year was their chemistry. A group of guys, whether social media or not, they actually seemed like they liked each other and did things together outside of just practice, and when they were in practice, it seemed like they were enjoying being in competition with each other. And I think that's an overlooked component in sports, is that you can't have a whole bunch of mercenaries basically being guns for hire to try to win a championship. It almost
never
works. I can't think of a time that's really worked. Like, I think that when you're talking about the Clippers, I think the Clippers are a very talented basketball team. I think that they'll figure out a way to add some pieces. They need a legitimate point guard. A person that could ball handle and set people up, because I feel they were asking Kawhi and Paul George to do way too much ball handling and dictate the offense. Not to say that they can't do that. It's not a part of their game, but they are people who are always, they've always been better being set up and being able to run through the flow of the offense,
right,
and get to their spots and not have to work to get to their spots. Every shot that Kawhi had down the stretch, was he had to work for it. You know, it was 2, 3, 4 dribbles. And I'm a person, I grew up, I love Kobe Bryant. But at the same time, like, if you're being asked to do that for really the first time, because at least when he was in Toronto, he had Van Vliet, he had Kyle Lowry, he had people that could at least carry the load as far as being the primary ball handler for 6, 7 minutes at a time. So that way, like, there was times in against the Nuggets where, I mean, he's having a whole half where he's bringing the ball up, or he's, you know what I mean? Like, so they need a legitimate point guard. They need a rim protector. They need somebody that can, you know, come off the bench and be a wing defender / scorer. I know they were trying to get that out of Marcus Morris, but, you know, maybe they might bring him back, maybe bring Danilo Gallinari back, something. But they need, there are definite holes in the team that people don't. We could talk about all that stuff. Like, to me, that's not my purview. I don't know. Like, I'm not in our locker room, so I don't know. But as far as, like, on the basketball court, they have things that they need to solve in that regard. They want to win a championship. But I think they can. I think that, you know, I always thought that it was going to be a tough series if we ever saw them in the Western Conference Finals. The fact that they didn't kind of proved to me a little bit that the Lakers did have more depth that people gave us credit for, and there were holes that were there the whole time with the Clippers that people kind of just overlooked because they have two great players. I think Paul George will come back and have a good season next season because he's probably going to be looking to go on a tear. And Kawhi Leonard's going to be Kawhi Leonard. So until proven otherwise, I think they'll be a good regular season team, and then when they get to the playoffs, we'll see. But the Clippers will be fine. They just have to fill some holes in their roster, that's all.
Speaking with Spectrum News 1 Texas sports producer Vic James. You can find him on Twitter at Vic James. Real quick before we let you get off the hook, Vic, I know you're an avid baseball fan as well, man. You're a Dodgers fan out there. You got Game 7 tonight. What do you think happens? Do you roll Kershaw out? I mean, is that arm rested?
I'm actually an Angels fan.
Oh, so, Mike Trout and all.
Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that.
I'm an Orioles fan, man. Misery loves company, dude.
Yeah. Nah, you know what? I'm hoping that Kershaw, if they roll him out there, can finally put all this stuff to bed. You know, he kind of does it every now and then, but and he pitched really well, I believe, through, you know, 5.5 innings the last time out, and it got away from him a little bit, and that's baseball. You know, I think the Dodgers bullpen is going to have to step up for them in the ways that it had the last two games. I just – playoff baseball is all about pitching, and it seems like the Dodgers bullpen is deeper, even though that I feel like Atlanta – even though the Dodgers have bats, I think Atlanta has more. So if it's one of those situations where I feel like if the Dodgers can get up at least two runs – while Kershaw's in, sit him down around the fifth or sixth inning, they'll have opportunity to close the series out. But if they allow Atlanta to get on a roll early and push it to four or five runs like they've done already in the series, the one thing the Dodgers have is they've been there before. They know how to get out of these situations. I mean, they went to, you know, seven games with the Astros a few years ago. In the World Series, and I think they've got guys that have done it, and they want to prove that, you know, they're not that team that, you know, gets there and doesn't necessarily bring home the hardware.
Can't finish, so, yeah.
Even though they have a whole nother step to go if they win tonight, it still would, you know, go towards their a little bit towards their mentality as far as moving forward in the years to come. But I got Atlanta, man. I think Atlanta is they're young. They kind of, I think, in this form, like we saw in the bubble, the young guys are kind of just letting it hang. And I think if they crack Kershaw early, if they roll him out there, it's going to be a long night for Dodgers fans. But I sincerely hope for the LA and me sincerely hopes to take it over.
Right on, man. Speaking with Vic James, man, always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Make sure we got to have you come on again sometime. We're a little booked up for the next couple of weeks, but love to have you back soon. How about that?
Let me know, man. I'm there if you have me.
Always a pleasure, man. Absolutely. We'll have you for sure, man. Very good guest. Go to Vic James on Twitter right now. Make sure you follow him, and that way you can get all the West Coast content that you need, man. He's also played a little bit of ball in the Midwest, so ask him about that as well. And we're going to say goodbye to Vic, and we will touch back with you a little bit more on the other side with Heroes and Zeros.
Thanks, Vic.
Thanks a lot, Vic. We appreciate the time, man.
Thank y'all.
Absolutely. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Heroes and Zeros on the other side. All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com. A little touch and go right now. Heroes and Zeros segment for the hero. I got to tell you, Alexander Mattison. That's right. I've been, you know, raving about this dude all season long, telling you that he's the handcuff that he needed to have in the back pocket. Well, guess what? On DraftKings for $4,000 last week, if you rostered him up, if you had a little bit of a notion to do that, you got 19, almost 20 points out of him. He's a whopping 7,200 on DraftKings today, so you might want to think about it, putting into your DFS contest lineup today, but we'll talk a little bit more on the other side. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Heroes and Zeros, Alexander Mattison.